In the name of Jesus. Amen. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. In darkness, a light shines. A morning star rises fair and bright. And this is far greater than any light we will ever lay our eyes upon in this earth. Some 700 years before this light beams, Isaiah says that this light is itself the Lord, that it shines from a cold and cruel manger, that it will shine from the face of a child, God crawling in the dirt and the grime and the darkness of this earth. It will shine in a radiant voice, beckoning all nations and their leaders to its grace and glory. The image of the invisible God is visibly seen in this beautiful light. A people that huddled in darkness and fear are drawn out of their caves and their caverns. And a joyous light is creating a holy people, sons and daughters that are flooding toward its light. Humped animals and mysterious visitors are bringing gold and frankincense, and they're praising the God of heaven come to earth, the God who comes to shine His light into our darkness. And so in darkness, a light shines. The Magi, they look up in wonder at the constellation, the stars, and one of them catches their eye. For such a star they had never seen before. Perhaps they remembered what Daniel had preached in before they had gone off to the Babylonian captivity. They remembered from the Old Testament what Daniel had preached to them, perhaps. That is the only conclusion that we can come to, that they thought that this star was the long-awaited star or light that was signaling that the promised king of the Jews had been born. Wow, after all these years, after all this waiting and waiting and waiting, it has come to pass. So they prepare their gifts and they begin their long trek. But when they finally arrive in Jerusalem, the scene is quite strange. No noise, no singing, no dancing, no national joy, just another run-of-the-mill day. The darkness is still creeping about, and they are dumbfounded. So they inquire of the king, King Herod, where this newborn king resides. But when they go to King Herod to ask where this newborn king resides, this king is greatly feared, and he is greatly troubled. And there is no doubt that he is a bloodthirsty king. The darkness and the fear of King Herod stirs in his heart, and this could not be contained. Even the people of his land were greatly feared and greatly troubled, likely because their king, who was a bloodthirsty king, was troubled, which tells us that darkness and fear cannot be satiated, if you will, by one man's heart. It must have all men's hearts. All must fear, not just one or two people. Everyone must be afraid. Perhaps even this darkness and this fear stood in the hearts of the wise men. As they stood there before this volatile king, could they have been wrong? Under the secrecy, Herod asked the chief priests and the scribes, "Hey, where was this Christ child to be born?" And then he tells the wise men what he's told by his chief priests. "You're in the wrong place, wise men. He's in Bethlehem. You need to go down south. Go and find the child. Oh, and when you find the child, bring the child to me as well so that I might worship him." And so with hopeful hearts, they set out again on their trek. And there it is again. The star, the light, this mighty light that had arisen once they had started going and is piercing through the darkness yet again and guiding their way until it finally reaches on a house. And led by this light, they enter this humble house filled with a greater light. This light that enlightens all men. But it's not what they had expected. They see this lowly child in its lowly mother's arms. And yet they still fall to their knees. They worship him, for they are the wise men, for they worship God in the flesh. Light of light, very God of very God, this God made human flesh. And they offer their gifts to him, most rare, and they receive the mercy of the gospel, this Jesus, that, and so they would never be the same again. Into the very den of lions, into that darkness and that deceit, a light had been kindled amidst their hearts that would never be snuffed out. Like Herod of old, Saul of Tarsus was once a man of darkness who you heard about. And his heart, as you know, was also filled with rage against the light that had come into the world. And he wasn't afraid to use violence and intimidation to stamp out this light. It's a bloody lie, he would insist to the people. Don't mention his name. Stay away from his lunatic followers. But a day would dawn for him as well. But he would see a light, a revelation, literally an apocalypse of Jesus Christ, the morning star that would stop him on the Damascus Road, would knock him off his horse and turn his life upside down and inside out and set him on a new, complete, and utterly different path. The revelation of the enfleshed God in the person of Jesus Christ drove the darkness out of his heart. A revealed word forgave him his sins, loved him, and gave him the promise of a life that would never end. A revealed word that called him to be a mouthpiece to the Gentile nations. Saul, who once persecuted Christ, would now proclaim Christ crucified. And he was given a mystery to proclaim. And what was that mystery? Not only that the light shines in the darkness, but that this light is not just simply for this or that people, but it's for all people. It's for all, even those whose hearts are as dark as Saul, or dark as Herod, or as dark as anyone you have ever met. That light shines into the darkness to make all together heirs of God, members of one body, partakers of a divine glory, and one great promise. So here is the mystery of the church. A door has been opened from heaven, and her light streams into all the dark and cold places of this world. And it shows the lost, and it shows the lonely, the way home. The church shines the light of eternity like a lighthouse, guiding the way of the distressed and all those who are buffeted by their sin, by their grief, upon the unforgiving and choppy seas of this earthly life. The church shines its light and its grace and its mercy in order to summon all to arise and in splendor in this unexpected mercy and this unearned forgiveness, and to come home. By the light of this word of the gospel, the church is created, sinners are forgiven, instructed in the word, fed a holy meal for the forgiveness of their sins, and they gather together as a holy people, longing for the holy city. That is your joy as parishioners of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Epiphany light, the light that is for all, that Christ is the Savior of all men, that the light who went into our deepest darkness, who knew our most deepest sufferings, who cried our tears, who died even our death in darkness upon a cross to forgive our sins. He is the light that no darkness, no sin, not anything can snuff out. For he is risen and he is glorified and he has ascended to the right hand of his Father. He is the very promise of the light that triumphs over all things. He is the love of the age to come, and he is the love of this age, which brings those into that age which is to come. And so with Saul of Tarsus, we learn of this great light. With Isaiah, we prophesy of this light. And with the wise men, we are learned and we are brought to believe in this light. And so we proclaim until the day when what we believe in this mystery is manifested for all to see. The day when the light of Christ shines visibly upon this world and it transfigures all things into the new heavens and the new earth. So like the wise men who are wise in the fact that they worship God in the flesh, who is now manifested as God to the world, worship him, the light who shines and whom no darkness can overcome. In the name of Jesus. Amen.